What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Chad Watch. It's been a couple of weeks, but we are back. We are really excited to have Danielle from Stone Depot with us today. Of course, though, as always, my co-host Chris Silva is here, mid-dab. We have a great one today. We're going to cover a couple of new interesting news developments in the industry, some folks that have been going through layoffs. As we know, the market has been real tumultuous, I'm all over the place. But why don't we just jump right into it? Danielle, if you want to go ahead and just kind of give us our background and we'll go from there.
Hi guys, thanks so much for having me on the show today. I'm so excited to be here. I'm glad. I feel like I only met both of you guys recently, and I find that really weird. Like, I feel like I've known you guys longer than what I actually have. We've been like orbiting in the same solar system for a minute. Thanks for having me on. For those that don't know me, my name is Danielle Ross. I'm the Director of Retail Operations at Stone Depot. Before I was at Stone Depot, and actually in the cannabis industry, I worked for a long time in retail management. And then after that, I worked for a long time in B2B sales and marketing in the automotive industry. So those things served me well. And then while I was working in the automotive industry, the gentleman that I worked for actually had business interest in medical cannabis. So I was able to kind of have a foot in both of those markets.
Yeah, was that before the Facilities Licensing Act? Sorry, just a point of clarity question.
It was actually, he actually had some business dealings before that. And then I came in right on the tail of the MMFLA. So it was right when there was still the emergency rules were in place. And so it was kind of that wild, wild west time, and it was crazy. And I am doing both actually, and then obviously I jumped at the chance. So you know, I grew up in a little town in northern Michigan called Pinconning, Michigan, that has a long
paralyzer.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna date myself, but I got to smoke some of that when I was a young girl, and it was delightful. And so, you know, cannabis has been part of my life for a really long time. So, and obviously the black market was part of my life for a long time before I ever started doing this. So, so it was like a pinch me kind of moment when I was like, wow, I can start doing this and make it a living doing it. Because obviously the automotive industry was, you know, yeah, it was lucrative and it was a great way to make a living, but it was soul sucking. It's not anything that, you know, lit my fire. And when I was able to jump into the cannabis industry, I jumped in with both feet, and it was, and I still feel that way. I'm very, very honored and blessed to be able to do this every day. So it was a bit of a bumpy ride for sure. Yeah, I came in with my little rose colored glasses on, and I was just like, dee, dee, dee. I'm so happy to be here. And it was a crazy wild ride. And every role that I've really had at every company that I've worked for, it was always kind of the same role. It was always director of retail operations. So my expertise is really on the sales and that type of role for sure. So I've worked at some great companies along the way. You know, one of them, we have a moment of silence for Happy Life Cannabis Company. That was the one where I started out at, and man, you know, that company had a great brand. It had a great, great foundation. And such is in the cannabis industry, sometimes things happen. Chads happen. So you know,
Chads do happen, and that's a Chad's situation.
Chads definitely, they happen.
Chads are going to Chad. So Chads are going to Chad. So that being said, but, you know, I wouldn't change it, because if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I wouldn't have met the people that, you know, I met along the way that were my mentors along the way. So I wouldn't change that. It was bumpy, but I wouldn't change it. So I was so excited. I got to give you guys credit, because when I heard that there was going to be Chad Watch, I was just excited and just tickled about that. And then I have to tell you guys that I was emotionally invested in March Chadness this year. And I really, you know, give it up for the winners, and kudos to them. Congratulations on their win.
They fucking earned it. Yeah.
Like Labs, Cola Fogs, Detroit Fudge Company.
Yep, and they earned it the hardest way possible. So they, you know,
they did.
Hard fought victory. Although that being said, yeah, there was a lot of people were enthusiastic. We might have to have some like Trump style democracy rules next year. You know, like, we have to be like voter IDs and stuff.
Good point. But yeah, there was some hooting and hollering from my office when I actually saw them win, and my staff, I thought I was going crazy in there, and you couldn't like tell off my face. They're like, "What is that about?" And I'm like, "Yeah, one of these days I'll
say for sure."
It's a long story.
It's a little different than the GM plant, you know, for sure. It's a little bit wild of a situation. And that's what we, that's definitely what we're looking for. You have like a really, really good perspective. And I think that seeing all of the different types and all of the ways and that these kinds of things can come up and that'll definitely play into kind of the theme of this episode. But before we roll into that, I wanted to do a little bit of a news update and just kind of like roll into the show. Fortunately, I have start the show with a bit of bad news. Last week, the cannabis community, and in my opinion, just the progressive and just social justice community in general was dealt a really, really big blow. And like a longtime advocate, Zahra Abbas, passed away, and she's done just like so much. I Kyle and I first met her during the MI Legalized. In fact, I actually met her, the very first time I met her was at a Cannabis Cup. I want to say like the 2014 Cannabis Cup, and she helped do the MI Legalized booth with me and Deb, and I got to hang out with her, spend the whole day with her, and that was kind of like when she was getting super involved in the beginning. And she's done so much. Was a founder of the Michigan Democratic Party Cannabis Caucus, super involved with Normal, and I'm for sure I'm totally forgetting all of her accomplishments because they are just so many, and it just sucks. And it's really been weighing heavy on me since I found out. And just, it just fucking sucks. And it's such a huge setback to these movements too. And so many people, and just, I just feel like it needed to be just acknowledged on our show. I know it's not necessarily the thing that we're known for here, but you know, I just didn't want it to go unrecognized. So I'm sure you guys both have some input, and I'd be interested to talk about that for a minute, and then we'll do a little bit more news and roll into the meat of the show here.
Yeah, Zahra was fantastic. She's known for her work in the cannabis industry, but also Young Democrats of Michigan and kind of that whole area in politics. And so I actually met her through the Michigan Legalized campaign as well. Several petitioning events with Sam Pernick and Nick Sattel down in Southeast Michigan. She was a fantastic advocate for the community, and we're going to miss her. It's unfortunate.
Absolutely. Definitely a dark day in the cannabis industry for sure. I first met Zahra up at a Cannapalooza event that John Schlicker was putting on, and she was speaking at it. And that was the first time that I met her. I think that was back in 2018, I believe. And it was just incredible, her story, her personal story, how cannabis helped her with her epilepsy. But there was another, interesting testament to her strength about how her own community, her personal community, that she was Muslim and that she really fought to use that cannabis as medicine. And it blew me away. I mean, she just was this, you know, this equal parts sweet and fierce. And that's the only way that I can really explain her personality. And, you know, it seemed like she was everywhere. I mean, she just, you know, at every event, wherever, it's like you saw her face. And the last I saw her was at the Hash Bash. And it was the first one that I had went to in a long time. And I was really happy to see her. So definitely a dark day. And it's important that we get out there and advocate in her honor and vote in her honor as well.
No, for sure. Absolutely. And I think that's also just like real quick. That's one of this is the shit we're talking about when people like are like, "Oh, Chris, why are you like losing your fucking mind and going nuts on Viridis and MCMA and all the shit?" It's because people like Zahra literally fucking dedicated their lives to doing this shit so that these asshole Chads could have a job in the fucking first place. And some of these people are they fucking know better. They've been in the industry since before, and they saw all the hard work and went through all the bullshit, and they still make these choices to personally enrich these pieces of shit who have, you know, destroyed our community. And it's all been on the back of people like Zara and like the John Schlickers of the world and shit. And like, these guys aren't making like millions of dollars off this shit, you know? So it's just, that's the spirit of the show, is like to always honor those people that built this shit for us. And whenever these guys do shady stuff, it's even worse, because this isn't like some existing industry that we just all walked into and just started abusing. This is one that was created by people who had very strong convictions and had a set of values that they wanted to see this industry play out as. And in our opinion, it's getting shit all over. And that's why someone needs to be there to do it. So, yeah. So I guess with that, let's roll into Common Citizen laying off like 100 employees at their booth factory and closing some retail locations.
And then blaming it on the illicit market instead of going with the quality of product, perhaps.
That's such bullshit, man. I was actually in a store in Muskegon, and this guy showed up and he was like, yeah, my son used to work a trap, basically. He had like a his own grow and a caregiver pole barn. And he was like, and these Muskegon stores put him out of business, bro. He's like, he's cool with it. He was like, it's just the market. He understands. He was like, he sent me down here to buy weed. Like, so the guy who's getting put out of business by the actual dispensaries is sending his dad down to Sticky to get a bag of redemption, 'cause it's a good deal and shit. You know, like that's the realities of the market. Like, it's not the other way around. That's absolutely insane. But that just shows you like the hubris, and like these guys can't even accept reality, you know, when it's happening to them.
That press release was such a cop out. Like, it just was. I wanted to take a shower after reading that. That's awful. Like, what a slap in the face. Like, come on, you know. But that's just such an MCMA comment. You know, it just ties into that narrative.
By press release, are you referring to Michael Elias, the CEO of Common Citizen?
Yes.
Well, I think what we're actually all referring to is a leaked memo. A leaked memo that we're reading. But I think in that, he also, like, after the illicit growers comment, he's like, oh yeah, and like, you know, like, and we're moving people around, and like, you know, we're kind of trimming the fat and getting people that, like, so basically he's like, hey, if you got laid off, it's like because of the black market and because you probably suck. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of, was the message that he was giving to his employees. Yeah. And, you know, we follow, you know, we're all on all the, like the Reddits and shit. And so all their employees are in there like spilling all the gossip and shit. And like, you know, that's definitely not how it was. It's like some dude was like, yeah, I just happened to work at the least profitable, you know, most saturated market where there was a Common Citizen. So no shit, I lost my job. 'Cause you know, our shit's not the best, you know? So it's, I don't know. I think there's going to be more of that. I think there's going to be kind of, and we've seen some of it with like, you know, Loom's closed a few stores, but at the same time, they've also opened a few more stores. Like, they've opened one in Grand Rapids. So if you're in Grand Rapids and never want to wait in line ever, you could probably go there anytime.
Well, I think it's too, I've heard you guys say this, and I can't agree with it harder, is that if you weren't operating lean from the beginning in this industry, you're gonna have a real tough time in 2023. And now they're trimming the fat, and you know, they have their fancy offices and this and that, and you know, trust me, the Chads aren't taking a pay cut. You know, they're not taking a pay cut. They're never gonna trim the fat at the top. You know, they're not doing that. So you know, and I've heard, you know, And obviously there's the Common Citizens and of the world, and these really large, you know, MSOs that are having to pay back their investor groups and things like that. So you see that scenario. But there's some other companies that I've heard some layoffs coming down the chute that were a little surprising. But it's people that have been with these companies from the beginning. And unfortunately, those layoffs were handled the same way, just so poorly, and just, you know, not with any grace whatsoever. So it's really sad, because obviously, again, the Chads and those companies aren't hurting at all.
No, for sure. And that's, yeah, and that's kind of like the, yeah, and that's actually a really good way of illustrating that, because that is like what one of the big differences is between, I think, like when people have like an idea of like a small mom and pop operator and stuff, like, you know, like the small, like the illegal gray market dispensary that I worked at in Lansing, when it went out of business, like, you know, my job was doing a lot of like just different consulting and stuff. And I spent a lot of time with the ownership there. And that was like my daily job. And like, it really fucking bothered them that these people were going to lose their job. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was and then like the commiserate, like, kind of like a exit compensation that this illegal unregulated store did for its like 23-year-old bud tenders and shit, right, absolutely blows out of the fucking water what's going on in like most of these most of these large facilities and stuff. And so like, I just think that's a really big, like, that's one of the reasons that we really champion for the small guys. I really think that their interest is more closely aligned with their workers. Like a lot of these companies that we're talking about, the small guy, proverbial small guy, their owner is the operator also. They're doing all the jobs and shit. Like they're many of them, if they're running the way that you've kind of laid out, like they should be super lean and stuff. Like they're lean because they're doing two of the three or two or three of the jobs that most of these Brads and Chads are going to hire people to do. So they're kind of they're not reinvesting in like crazy ass like perks. They don't have a fucking helipad and stuff, you know what I mean? Like it's just a no, that's like, as you know, that's a real thing that a real grow has, you know,
for sure. And then also too, I think I'd love to know the statistic of turnover in those companies, and I'm not talking layover, I'm talking turnover, because, you know, something that, you know, I pride myself on is having, we have a very low turnover at our store and within our company. And, you know, they talk about, you know, how industry-wide, you know, turnover is such a problem, it's such an issue all the time. Well, why is it? You know, and I can tell you why. They're micromanaged to the hilt. You know, it's like, you know, if you have good SOPs in place and you manage expectations from the beginning and you treat people like they're maybe a human being, you know, people want to do good work for you. It's not something that's like a new concept, you know? So, you know, they don't want to jump around, and they feel really proud to be part of that team and put in good effort. And, you know, I always say, and, you know, my staff can attest to this, is that life happens. You know, I know that you get a flat tire, and I know that your kids get sick, and if a pattern emerges and you're kind of, you get a flat tire every other week, you know, yeah, then that's something that you have to deal with. But, you know, I hate the whole corporate like point system, and like, you know, there's just, it's so rigid, and it's like, man, that's just not the way you treat people. And I know that there's going to be, you know, the corporate muckety mucks out there that be like, well, that's how you don't grow. It's like, whatever, you know, we're all right, you know? So it's just my philosophy.
No, that's actually really good. That's a very good, it's not even something that I had actually thought about a whole lot for this episode, but I mean, it really does, that hits the same thing, you know what I mean? Like, or the same, it's the same problem, right? Like these guys treat people like shit, you know? And so I think like with the turnover, it's really tough to like I'll be honest too, cause like as somebody who's hired people in stores and stuff, like, you know, it's like you said, like, we're all human, we're all being cool about stuff, but that is how it happens, right? It's like somebody is like, ah, shit, my whatever, you know? And then like 3 or 4 days later, it's like, ah, the same thing, but a little bit different. Yeah. And then, you know, it's like, ooh, man, it's the first 80 degree day, I am sick, you know? Right. Like, and being in Grand Rapids, we're like from right by the lake, you know, I'll see like their fucking Instagram pictures like 4 hours later, like doing dabs in the parking lot at the beach and shit, you know? So, you know, you gotta, so sometimes when I would get, applicants, and Kyle, I'm interested for your input on this too. When I would get applicants at the store, it would be nuts because like you would see maybe two or three dispensaries, and some of them 2 months, 4 months, maybe one's 8 months. And, you know, because I know how it is out here with Big Chad, you know, like I would almost be taking their word for it. I'd be like, hey, what happened at this place? They'd be like, oh, you know what? My manager was like a fucking asshole and blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, yeah, that actually sounds how it would be over there. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, like, what happened at this place? He'd be like, oh, you know what, bro? I called this shit mids, and then, like, they, you know, it's like, all right, yeah, you know, like, one guy got, like, fired for, like, listening to, like, offensive music too much in the lobby and shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it can be, like, at, like, a place where you have to wear, like, a fucking little name tag and a little uniform and stuff, you know? So I would sometimes fuck up is what I'm saying. I would hire people that really sucked and got fired because, like, they sucked, you know? So I would almost get, like, a little bit, like, almost a little chadsy about stuff where I'd be like, fuck these guys, you know, because I was the one who had to, like, ultimately, if Johnny doesn't show up for his Friday night shift, man, at the small shop I was managing, you know.
You're picking it up, yeah.
Yeah, I'm picking it up, yeah. And then, so, yeah, what do you guys think about turnover? Like, how do you as a purchaser and somebody who hires, both you guys, like, you know, being involved in this part, how do you weigh that shit out when you look at someone's resume and you see all of this, like, all the shit, and they're like, yeah, I can't call these guys because, like, we had, like, an adversarial, because, like, I have, well, not many, but I have, like, a couple people that I work for where I was like, yeah, don't call that guy and ask about, he's gonna tell you I'm an asshole, you know, because that guy was an asshole and we butted heads, you know what I mean? Like, and that's, so that seems legitimate to me, like, when people tell me that as a, so how have you guys seen that stuff? And then I guess, like, because the theme of this episode, we want it to be a little bit more, like, in general, positive in general, but, like, what, like, to give people advice, like, if you're somebody who's been in relating situations like this, which I think if you work in marijuana is everybody, like, how do you, what would be some good advice for people that maybe do have shit like that on their resume? And they're like, hey, you know, like, I worked in this facility for 3 months and walked in and saw the Willow machine one day and just had to fucking rage quit, you know, like, and how do you, what advice would you give to somebody in a situation like that? Cause I have friends that are definitely people who have quit jobs, over, like, ideological stuff or just, like, a line in the sand on moral shit, you know? And definitely it's something to, I mean, you know, that's tough. It's a delicate way. Not everyone's like Chad Watch. You can't walk into, like, every potential employer and be like, yeah, I didn't work for this guy cause he's a fucking Chad piece of shit and blah, 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 blah. You know, like that probably won't get you the new job, even if you're 100% right, you know, which you probably would be because cats, you know? So I guess, like, what do you, both of you guys, like, what do you think on that? I kind of want that to be, like, the one of the things we really touch on this episode is giving advice to these people that have had this shit happen or, like, later in the show that are about to have this shit happen to them and kind of what, you know, where we're at on that. What do you think, Danielle?
I think that when I got started, I was lucky in the sense that I was around a lot of advocacy, so I knew a little bit about that. I didn't know a lot about just the landscape of the market. I think that people, the young people that are coming now into the market today that maybe are new to the market have an advantage because there are podcasts like this, like Smoke and Rope and Medical Mondays and Jazz Cabbage, and there's groups that they can join and all of these things that they can kind of keep their thumb a little bit on the pulse of what's going on within the industry that wasn't even around really. Or maybe it was, and I was just, you know, dumb to it, but I just didn't know of those things. So it was like, I felt like I was really kind of like flying blind. I had to learn those lessons on my own and figure out, you know, there wasn't like a Chad handbook, you know, unfortunately I had to learn that really. There should be a Chad handbook. That's a thought. So I had to learn that the hard way. I was really, really lucky that I was taken under the wing of really great, I'll call them the OGs in this industry that were doing advocacy work long before that I ever set foot in this industry. So, you know, I always say that I was smoking a doob on the couch when I was in the automotive industry, when these people were out collecting signatures and doing very hard work. So I get to do what I love every single day. So I think that there is a little bit of an advantage for the younger people coming in, that there is information out there. So, you know, there's, you know, boycott lists and things like that. If they really want to dive into these things, the information is there for them to dive into. That's one part of it. I think the other part is personal responsibility. You know, we all have a personal responsibility, and I don't care what industry you are, is to find, you know, a company that fits well professionally and personally for you. And that goes in line with your own morals and exactly what type of people you want to surround yourself with. I always say, you know, we work hard, we put in very long hours. And if you don't like the people that you're doing that with, that can go sour really quickly. You know, I know it's exciting when maybe a young person, like you said, Chris, has a very, you know, a lucrative contract put in front of them for the first time in their life, and they're excited about it. And they're, you know, maybe that's the most money that they've ever been offered, and they want to sign on the dotted line very quickly. And, you know, I've been in that position, you know, when I was in my younger years, and you really do have to stop and take a deep breath. And I would behoove you to find an attorney and pay the money and find a contract, someone who's not the family divorce guy that's your uncle's buddy, and not that attorney. Find someone who is familiar with business and contracts and who really can dive into that and take a real look-see and make sure that you're not getting screwed over. So those are some of the things that I think that that are better than when I got into it, but you still have a personal responsibility. And that doesn't matter, you know, what you're doing or what industry you're in. You really have to protect yourself, because the Chads aren't going to do it for you. You have to do that for yourself.
For sure. Kyle, what do you think about this stuff, man?
Yeah, I would agree that, you know, maybe if you're getting into the industry now, there is somewhat of an advantage by having a little more access to some knowledge because of platforms like this. But also, it can be a little more confusing at the same time, because it seems like every day there's a new brand. You know what I mean? We're at the point where there's basically, and I don't know the exact numbers off the cuff, but it sounds like there's more licensed grows than there are stores even. And so,
yeah, for sure.
Every day, if you get in, you get on the LeafLink or just social media in general, really, if you follow the crowd, just the normal people in the industry, you're always seeing new brands and new names and new faces, and you kind of don't know, is this brand somebody local, or is this brand some crazy out-of-state asshole that's moved into the market? And so for new people, that can be overwhelming. I know at my store, the staff are constantly kind of asking, like, well, who's part of the MCMA and what are the members and how do I know that? And, well, first of all, they've never released the actual roster list, if you will. But we have pretty strong assumptions based on policy stances that these companies have made. But, I think that, trying to get them educated to that will help them ultimately.
Yeah, I think it's really one of the things like that I think is confusing, I guess, for everybody is like some of these companies are like, even the big ones are run so bad, right? Like, and it's easy. In fact, I was just talking about this with a real news reporter, not like me and Kyle, but like, and I think what I was hypothesizing is that like some of these when you get an industry like cannabis and they were saying also maybe similar in like craft beer, like it's kind of a commodity, but it's also like there's a value that is increased by having it be of a good quality, right? And there's like a culture around having it be good. And sometimes the people that you put in charge of these who are the people that would be the ones who have all the influence over the culture and how people are treated and all that shit, right? They're not necessarily there because they're a very accomplished administrator and HR person. They're there because they're a heady fucking weed person, and they know maybe they have like a particular skill set in processing and cultivation. Maybe they have like a network base, a knowledge base, you know? And so a lot of operators, if you are like new to the game or Brad and Chad, like you have to make a choice. Like you're like, am I going to get somebody who's really adept at the HR and like the, all this bullshit and make sure that we don't have like a crazy ass dangerous Mad Max culture, you know? Or am I going to get somebody who, and then while we do that, everything fucking falls apart in the weed because they don't know what they're doing, you know? Or am I going to get somebody who knows all about weed, but is going to let it get really fucking out of hand really quick, you know? And I think that it's hard to find those two, a compromise of those, someone who has those two mm-hmm. skill sets. And I think people that do have those two skill sets are already making a shitload of money running some of the few profitable marijuana companies, you know, in the state right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's a labor problem finding the right, I think.
Yeah. A labor as well as education, like having the actual skill set. And it's something, and you know, college doesn't teach you the culture and the industry, obviously.
Yes. And I think that I call that the Chad tipping point, because you have, you know, in these companies, you'll have, you know, gentlemen that come in or women that come in that have incredible business acumen from other, you know, industries. They come in and they're killing it, wherever they're coming from, whether food and bev or manufacturing or whatever. Yeah. And then they come into this, and then you have, you know, people that know cannabis. They understand this as a sacred plant and medicine, and they understand the culture. And then you put them together, and sometimes, you know, like, you know, Happy Life was like that in the beginning. It was a perfect balance in the beginning. There was enough of the Chads that had the business acumen, and there was enough of the cannabis, you know, OGs in there that it was a beautiful thing for a moment in time. And then all of a sudden, it got the tipping point where they're, you know, people bring in outside investors or, they go, you know, too quickly, you know, for, you know, whatever they just, you know, whatever their, strategy is, they want to just grow. And then all of a sudden the voices of those cannabis people, you know, become smaller and smaller in those boardrooms, and they start taking a weird left turn. I've seen it in a couple different companies that I've worked for, and you just see it falter. And then all of a sudden, I think Nate Darling called it, like, he said it becomes soulless. And we all know that, you know, any cannabis company that has no soul is not going to be around for the long haul. And I think that translates to the cannabis consumer too. They're savvy.
So no, for sure. They make the end decision of the market. And so that's actually a perfect segue to the question that I had for you. And you know what? Actually, you too, as much. This is great. It's like I'm interviewing two people. I think, and we've all talked about this independently, so I think we're all on the same page, but just context for viewers. Like you just mentioned, people, like a cannabis company without a soul is really not a company. There's one that's going to go out of business soon. Spoiler alert, that shit's about to fucking happen. It might be even happening now. You know what I mean? Like, definitely in the fall, like people think prices are low, but like some people are still making money at that. And they'll keep pushing even for a couple months after they're not making money. And that's all going to coincide with just like a shit show of low prices. So probably we're going to lose a bunch of Brads and Chads are going to have a lot more time for fucking yachts in their golf game. Cause it's back to being just a normal rich guy, you know? And, that's going to open up a lot of cultivation, like capacity and bandwidth, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think everybody who has got one of these facilities is just going to like completely give up on weed and go burn that shit down. You know, they're going to try to like, right. it still has a value. They're going to try to get people in there. And sure. This is leading us to opportunity, I believe. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a prime opportunity for folks from the legacy caregiver market to maybe acquire some of those assets in one way or another, whether it be cultivation or maybe even retail. You know, the opportunity is going to be there.
For sure. Like, it's going to be like, there's one more nice round of opportunity for like, just people smoking weed right now, listening to this show. Like there's a chance. You're going to have to know your shit. You're going to have to know what's up, and you're going to have to run it. Know that it's going to run lean, and you're not going to be driving like a fucking BMW or a Tesla the first few years. You know, you're going to have to work into that, fam. Like it's going to be like, going to be like a 50-60k a year job, and maybe you'll get some benefits, but you know, like it's you work into the you have to if you're not reinvesting it back into the company, you're fucked anyway, so it doesn't really matter how much money you make the first couple years. So I think that there's all this opportunity, and I think many people that have been just banging out and missed out on the first round, this is probably it, because this is where you're going to actually have to know about weed. And so you have a value here that you can leverage. And a lot of these people are like completely fucked. They're overextended. You might actually be dealing with the person who's picked this property up off of them for pennies on the dollar. So things change, and like the scale of things could really change. There's going to be a lot of opportunity, like joint ventures. There's going to be an opportunity to just buy them out. So we'll actually probably do like a whole Chad Watch episode about how to, like, you know, lock down a Chad and you know, get your hooks in. But it's going to be something that comes up, and like the very first thing they're going to have you do is sign like an NDA, and, you know, a non-disclosure agreement. And like, that's even just to like talk to them, like even to just like come in and bring like to bring you to look at a spot. They're going to do that. I've done tours of grows where they make you sign that. That's not crazy. Most of those are pretty straightforward anyways, you know,
most of them, like, don't hold when you start, any way.
Yeah. I was going to say all of them are bullshit anyways. It's crazy. Like this, there's a guy giving me a tour of a grow and I have to sign this NDA. There's like literally a lobby of like 30 people waiting to do like the same tour, you know. But anything further than that, like an operating agreement, or if they're gonna like, or even just like how you're gonna be paid, and I've 100% have done all these mistakes that we're about to like go through, and just by the grace of God, I've not been taken by for like a lot of money. But just like even like how you're gonna get, like the value that you're assigned, like for example, like if you're going to get paid a percentage, like maybe you own a retail store with somebody, like what's that percentage of? Is it like after, you know,
is it,
you
know what I mean? Right? Or the profit?
Yeah, the profit. Or like, and if so, like how much does the guy who runs the place make? Like, what do the books look like? Do you get to look at them? What are the parameters? You know what I mean? Like, would you even fucking know what it looked like when, you know what I'm saying? And like, it's not, and like, you're not stupid if the answer is no. It just means that you've never run like a huge store. And that's not necessarily why you're there. You're there because you know the need, and you have the network, and you know what I mean?
Right, which is totally okay. You just have to know, you have to have the resources to make sure somebody knows what's going on, right?
Right. Who's looking out for you? You know?
And so that's someone on your side.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of like what I wanted to talk to a little bit here. Like, what I guess, you know, Danielle, like from your experience, like knowing that this is kind of a thing, you know, like what advice would you give to people that maybe see an opportunity like this coming down the line for them? And what do you think is a good way that people can be prepared, but also you also don't want to go in there necessarily don't watch Chad Watch and then go have this meeting with your Chad, you know? You don't want to go in there and be like, listen here, Chad, I'm not going to let you fuck this up for both of us. You just give me the fucking money. And just shut the fuck up, and I'm gonna go fucking kill it for us, you know. Like, don't. Maybe that's a couple months in, you know. Like, you gotta work into
that's
this.
A couple months in. Yeah, you gotta build up to that.
And this is, oh man, I wish I had a better answer for this, because ironically, the times where I thought that I was really doing my due diligence and had contracts in place, and you know what I thought was like, you know, dotting my I's and crossing my T's, you know, I was really like weird about like having all communication through email thread or text. I didn't want to, you know, engage a lot, you know, in, you know, if it was like a negotiation based or anything like that, I wanted, you know, some, you know, trail of it and things like that. And this is so sad to say that even when I did those things, they didn't plan out the way that they should. Even when both parties agreed to what was, you know, on that piece of paper, it may have ended in litigation and it didn't help at all. And ironically, the times where I wasn't dealing with Chads and I was dealing with men of their word and it was a handshake, and then after the fact we signed those documents, I got paid what I was agreed to be paid. So I don't know if you're ever going to change Chad. I really don't. I think that that's how they became Chads. They step on little people, and that sounds really like bitter, but I'm telling you that from experience. So when I tell you that, you know, make sure that you're, you know, having your lawyer look at things and get things in writing and things of that nature, man, you know, they didn't become wealthy by, you know, being kind and in those situations, you know, whether it was generational wealth that, you know, they now have, or, you know, whatever, however they came across, you know, their business acumen. I'm not saying that there's not people out there that are not self-made. I'm not saying that, but you know, there's definitely some unscrupulous things that go on, and you know, you think, man, I have this contract and we both agreed to it, and man, I'm really going to go work hard with these people and for moving in the right direction, and we have a mission and we're on it, and then just realize that that might not be all that you need to even
possible.
Like
I've had instances where, like, you know, these pieces of shit owe me money, and they're like, you know what, man, I'm just not going to pay you. And I'm like, well, shit, man, I have to make a decision. Am I going to spend a fortune to go get like my $5,000 or $10,000? Or, you know, like, they're just like, oh, or hey, bro, or I could give you like $1,500 and it's like the week before Christmas and it's in dirty cash. And it's like, okay. You know what I mean? Like,
carrot. I feel like it's like they're really great at dangling the carrot.
No. And so, and like, seriously, like a lot of times, like, they will do that. Like, I have like some, I'll do like, even on like not huge things. Like, I understand when they try to like fuck you out of like a store, or like, you know, your position in a chain of stores, because that's real money. Like, I'm even talking like these motherfuckers will do stuff on like win bonuses, you know. They'll be like, oh, you know what, bro, I didn't win big enough. And I'm like, what the fuck, you know, like, no, I'm serious. And like, and then they'll just like beat me down, you know, from like the initial, like, all the way down to like, I'm like, this is barely like this is like a night at the fucking casino, man. This is like,
you know, they're like moving the goalposts all
And it's just like, dude, if I would have caved the beginning, I would have got like nothing. So like, oh, that's the big thing, I think, is what you were saying, is like, it's the nature of this shit. You just, unfortunately, I hate to be like this, but like, if you don't like personally know these people and have like a long-term business relationship where you have like a history of how things are that you can recall and you know it's good and shit, like, you just unfortunately have to assume that everyone's trying to fuck you a little bit, you know, like, which is, it sucks.
Also too, that, you know, we have to remember that this market is relatively young here in Michigan, you know, so we have to keep that in the back of our head. And I think, you know, young people that are coming on, you know, it's okay to get up from the table and leave. You know, go find another great company or go find another home within the cannabis industry. And I know that's easy to say.
Or another investor, potential partner.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I know that's hard when, you know, your livelihood's in the balance and you have children and bills to pay and all that. But man, you know, that scary decision now may save you hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars down the line. And
just the stress and the headache.
Absolutely. So, you know, that little feeling, you know, in the pit of your stomach where you go, something's not right here, man, listen to that, because it's never steered me wrong once. And I wish I would have listened to it more so in the beginning. And it really is something that's important. And I know it's not easy to do that when, say, you're a young bud tender, or you're really just want to get a foot in the door here, and you're excited that someone gave you an opportunity, and you're don't have a lot of experience. But if you know, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck, and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. So yeah, we think that this is like, you know, and I guess like to sum this up, I guess like everybody should probably, anything you do that's like, that's for serious money, get a lawyer to look at it. And one of the things too, and this is just a slight segue into our next thing, is even like when you sign it's tough. If you're getting a job like at a dispensary or grow or something, a lot of times they're going to come at you with all sorts of agreements and shit, NDAs, like maybe non-competes, which are for sure bullshit. So just sign that, because that doesn't mean anything. But you know, like they're going to make you do all this stuff. Like, that's one of the things that I know that we've been talking with Nate and the Mid-Michigan Cannabis Professionals Group about maybe trying to get up some access for people to go have that stuff looked at, just to make sure that you're not like, you know, doing anything like super crazy. And I know that most people aren't going to retain a lawyer for $2,000 on like a job that maybe pays 18 or 25 bucks an hour. And it's not, I'm not saying that's a bad job, but it's just like that's a lot of money to put up when basically every other person who works there just signs it basically you know, carte blanche, you know? So I guess like Kyle and Danielle, do you all have your employees sign shit like that? Like what kind of confidentiality and like non-competes were you guys?
Sure.
Where are you guys at on that?
So, my employees never had to sign any kind of confidentiality or anything. What they do sign is like a social media agreement, which basically means that like when you're on social media, if you say a bunch of crazy stuff on your status or whatever, and you like pull the company into it and make us look like shit, we'll probably fire you. You know what I mean? And then they also signed like a cash handling policy that they understand that like, hey, if the till is all of a sudden a bunch of bluebills short, like we're going to review the cameras and you're probably going to have a problem. Other than that, that literally is it, actually.
Same with us. It's in our handbook. There's some very similar policies. And then there's, a paragraph in regards to proprietary information. And then there's an acknowledgement that you have read and understood this, and they have to sign that document. But it's not anything holding their feet to the fire in any way of, you can't work within this industry or a competing entity for any amount of time.
Which is outrageous that companies do that.
Complete
you
bullshit.
Can't work in the cannabis industry for 2 years because you were a $10, $12, $13 an hour bartender one
crazy.
Time.
Crazy.
I mean, I think it's bullshit here. For like even like really advanced level jobs. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I promise you there's some dude out there. There's somebody out there who was like managing a Walmart and then like a month later was managing like the competing banging Myers next door. You know what I mean? Like, right. I know that shit happens all the time.
And
you want that in the industry, you know?
Yeah. And I would understand maybe like in a kitchen area, you know, scenario where there was like proprietary recipes of some sort.
Yeah.
Literally proprietary information where, you know, this is my brownie and it's the greatest thing and it's
right.
You know, this. But I mean, bud tender or a key holder or, it's retail at the end of the day. We're not reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah. Just selling dope. It's
just selling dope. Yeah.
No, it's crazy. And I think all that shit is nuts, you know, like, but one thing that is interesting though is, everyone like so Oreos, like, you know, Oreo, right? Like the cookie.
Yeah.
That was like a ripoff of the guy who actually invented it. It's like some other company and shit. And like these guys almost put him out of business. And you know what I mean? So like it's not even about like the everyone gets all caught up on the idea part. The idea doesn't mean shit. It's actually doing it and selling it and running, like as we're all now finding out, unfortunately, like, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of people that grow some of the best weed in the world, but if they can't actually like get the marshal the resources to do it and compete, it doesn't actually matter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
not thing. I think too, it's just, I don't know, maybe because, you know, our owner group went through so much litigation.
No, you got to be covered. I think it's for stuff where it's like, oh, hey, we're going to go open this new store and we have like this time sensitive thing. Like, you know, like, yeah, obviously, if you go and buy it and open a competing store, like that's you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the nature of a lot of these agreements is to stop people in like really high level positions from using like information that they come across at work to like not just enrich themselves, but all do it at the detriment of, you know, the company. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's what, like, I don't think it should be used to like keep people from like starting like their own. I don't know. I've just always not liked that shit. It sounds like we're all on the same page. So Kyle, do you want to, so we wanted to go over like pricing index, how you want to get us started off on that. I think people
should,
it's been about a month since we were on the air. And I think that's actually kind of a long time in market world.
Mm-hmm.
You want to run through your kind of
my comfort zone, I guess, right now in purchasing is 1,000 to 1,400 is what I've found. Like I've been able to find some really nice fireweed for, you know, 1,200 to 1,400. As low as 8 sometimes, like at our shop, for example, there's some weed that we'll pick up for $800 a pound, $100 an ounce, you know, 16 overall. But in some cases, and I understand that there's a lot of weed in the market, so naturally prices are low, but some of it is low because it's boof. You know what I mean? Like an $800 pound or a $600 pound, it doesn't mean, in every case, it doesn't mean that it's fire weed that's just being fire sailed. You know what I mean? In a lot of cases, it is shit weed. And so I don't know about your shop, but my shop, for example, is flooded with trade samples. We get weed every single day. And it's sweet for the bud tenders because I only have 6 employees. So just about every day you get at least like an eighth or like 2 packs of 100 milligram pack of gummies, which is cool in my eyes. I think it's awesome because when I started in the first shop, you know, the first 5 or 6 months.
It was like gold. Yeah.
Yeah. The first 5 or 6 months, you didn't get a single fucking trade sample. And if you did, eventually it was just like an individual Levitate gummy or like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I appreciate the gesture, but it's not slapping that.
Oh, dude, they'd show up like fucking like virgin, you know, no THC in it too. Just like a single.
Hey, sometimes it's awesome. Like sometimes
like, it would be better than the fucking gummy and I'd be
it's
mad.
Like, oh, this is delicious. You know, like it's not medicated, but I'll eat this whole fucking jar. That's that big.
Yeah. No, I agree with that for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's accurate. I mean, I don't think we paid over, I don't think $8 wholesale for a full gram hot dog water cart in a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. Concentrates as low as 10. Unless you're trying to burn in it.
Yeah, what are edibles at? Danielle, what are we paying for gummies now?
Edibles, I've got them as low as anywhere from $250 to $350 for 100 milligram. Mm-hmm. Rec edible, just a gummy, just depending on volume, that volume sale. So that's kind of depending. So I would say $3 good average on that. Mm-hmm. But I've got,
yeah, I was gonna say $350. It's about right. $3 right in the middle.
But we're a pretty high volume store, so I am able to get some of that that bulk pricing too. So that factors in a little bit on my end.
Sure. We're kind of the opposite of that. It's a little more rural. We have our times of the week where it's real hot. But Monday at noon or 1 p.m. is, you know, not that busy. So gummy's probably about $350, somewhere in there is where I'm able to secure it at. But at the same time, there are brands that are still more, like Dixie's as high as like $8 still or something, $7.
Yeah. Wild, I think, is pretty expensive still.
Wild is really expensive. And it's a beautiful brand. Unfortunately, I can't even sell it. It just would sit on my shelf. It's because of the, we all know that every store is different. And Jackson is a unique little demographic. And
Would you say that your market, or excuse me, your store is more of like an economy sales market? Like you have like an economy crowd?
Very much so. Yeah. They're definitely wanting that.
Same here. Especially now that times are tough. I guess.
They're a savvy consumer, you know, they know, good products. So,
in a place like Jackson, where there's a lot of options, you know, they're going to get savvy and they're going to
There's a scene too, you know what I mean? There's like a caregiver scene and shit. So they have access to other stuff. Sure. And I think that's great.
In my store, like I don't sell a lot of CBD products. I opened a store in Tawas, Michigan. I sold so many CBD products. It was a older, retiree crowd up there. A lot of people had second homes. A lot of people were dipping a toe into the cannabis pond via CBD. I just don't sell a lot of straight CBD products there. One-to-ones, I do carry them. They're not a fast seller. They just want a hard hitter for a great price in Jackson, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think this all definitely fits in with what I see out there. I obviously don't purchase for a store. I think that this is pretty spot on. I'm curious, before we shift into the wrapping down here, what do you guys think where do we think the bottom is? When's it going to get here? How long is it going to stay? You know what I mean? Like, what do you guys think the next 3 to 6 months look like?
Interesting question. I think that as we get closer to October, just like every year, you get into November and December and the prices will likely dip down as a result of the production from Croptober. I mean, as far as the absolute bottom, I hope that we're pretty close to there, but my gut tells me we're likely not. I'm sure that the price will go down as low as maybe $600 or $700 as a good, you know, good quality cannabis, maybe $800. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Danielle?
I agree, Kyle. I've already seen some really decent pounds for $900 a pound. I've scooped them up and they were good, you know? So, man, I feel like it's like a, you know, the forest fire is coming, is going to be like some scorched earth. But we all know what happens after a forest fire. There's little pockets of beauty that pop up. So, you know, maybe there needs to be that within the industry and a cleanse, if you will. But I really hope that the mom and pop shops can hang on. You know, I really hope that, because it's tough. It's tough for them. So, but yeah, I agree completely. But and I've seen some boof coming in at really $500 already for a pound. So it's like, ugh. And we're not even to Croptober yet.
I was gonna say we're not even to outdoor yet. Yeah.
No. So what do you do with that? You know.
Right.
So, yeah.
No, that's savage. I think we're gonna get to the point soon where like the gummies, you know, like, I mean, we've got to be getting close to just the real cost to make a fucking gummy, not even the marijuana part. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know how much lower, like, I don't know if you guys carry choice, but I think that they might be at what, like maybe some of them, like the choice chews, if you buy a lot, maybe like 150, you know, like.
We actually are like kind of assholes. We refuse to carry choice products.
That's what's up. No. Yeah.
I'm sure. And Jackson, especially, right. That's where they're production.
That's
all those stores probably have. Yeah.
So why would we carry, you know, why would
every single retail store there has probably.
Yeah.
And why
maybe
would we
everyone but like Gage or something probably.
Yeah. Why would we compete with them in their own backyard? So it's really funny. Like, we've had boxes and boxes of samples sent to us and they get so angry and they want to know why we won't carry their products. And so we tell them thank you, but no thank you. But they keep sending us great samples, but thank you, but no thank you. So we don't carry choice. We really do try to carry products that are unique, because again, we, you know, Jackson, we have some great competition there. So we try to carry that are a little different.
For sure. No, that's awesome. And that's hilarious. I'll have to after the show, I have a funny choice story for you. Yeah. Speaking of people probably going out of business, want to end it with a little Viridis update. So this stuff's making like a lot of traction. I should have mentioned it in the earlier news segment, but there's actually a RICO case out of Oklahoma for a couple labs and retail facilities accusing them of THC inflation, which is, I hesitate to say this because I think the Viridis people might sue me, but it is 100% is probably what's going on. Probably what's going on with Viridis. Allegedly, yes. Is allegedly what's going on. Definitely, probably, but allegedly going on. And so like that's huge, because that's not even like the state, you know, CRA cracking down. That's like Uncle Rico. That's what's up. And then in California, there's a lot of other, there's a recent article there talking about a lot of the labs are pretty upset with the THC shopping and stuff. So, and I know in Michigan, like, you know, we hit on Viridis basically every episode, but they're kind of like at open at any minute to the state kind of doing some sort of administrative action. There's been like a bunch of back and forth between these two groups, and, you know, they've like have lawsuits into each other and shit. And I know Spot is suing them or maybe getting sued by them or something.
And so, has also closed.
And has also closed, right? So
for the time being, unfortunately.
Some shit's going to happen with Virtus. Like it's, yeah. I can feel it. It's going to happen maybe during Croptober, you know? And it's like the Virtus thing for a lot of, like, hey, if you're listening to the show or you work for a grow that tests with Virtus and like you work in, you should get your resume fucking ready right now, dog. Like any day it could happen. And it might not just be like a recall. It might be like the feds coming in and like dragging Craig Michaud out of Virtus, putting them where he fucking belongs for the first time ever, you know? So like that could be like, you know, for a lot of companies too, that just use them, that could be like the boot pushing their head underwater, you know? And that that's going to drown a lot.
Yeah, a major recall, a major product recall when you're already on the brink of.
Yeah, when you're doing $800 pounds and shit, you know, like this is going to destroy a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, which is, it's interesting because, you know, that could realistically happen anytime.
Any minute. It could literally happen any minute. Like, so it's just.
Yeah.
But how would that affect you guys? Do you guys have a lot of that shit sitting around, or like do you worry about just even access to buying other weed? You know what I mean?
We were actually really lucky when the first recall came down. We had only about a handful of SKUs. So we were lucky in that, and that was just by, you know, the luck of the draw. It's not like we had a crystal ball and knew that any of that was going to happen. So we were lucky, but we had colleagues that, you know, a major portion of their inventory was affected by that. So we were like, whew, made it out pretty unscathed of the first recall. So, you know, we try our best to keep those products off of our shelves. You know, obviously some are going to, you know, filter their way in. You know, so it angers me. And I've said this before, you know, anybody that has a license works really hard to be compliant. You know, it's like, it's not something that's taken lightly. You know, we spend thousands of dollars for these licenses. You know, it's part of everything that you do is compliance. I mean, it's just part of every single decision that you make, and you drill that into your staff, and you know, it's just it's part of everything. So when you have somebody that's kind of like, you know, waving, you know, a thumb in the face of that time and time again, you know, at what point is it shame on them and shame on the CRA? I think it's a real slap in the face. I do.
For sure. The CRA needs to you know, so yes, the CRA needs to do something. That being said, like, I think that Virtus and basically every marijuana person in Detroit has showed the state, like, you know, like they can't do shit. You know what I mean? Like the ultimately, like, you get as much justice as you can afford. And like some of these guys have some deep pockets, you know? That being said, the state at least needs to like do like a fucking charade. I mean, that's the thing is they can clamp it down. They can just take the license away. You know, and I think that I agree with you. They should be doing something. I think there needs to be I think it needs to be like regulated better in the sense that there needs to be less ambiguity. It needs to be, they need to find a way to standardize this stuff. Maybe there needs to be like a reference lab. I mean, shit, use some of the excess money, the excise tax money to fund it. Who gives a shit? You know, like let's just get it. Just so, because like, just so that we know there's like a base level of trust in all of the, in the labs, like, cause it's just insane the spread. And then like, it's 100% suspect that like the people who get high THC all the time are the ones that are like, no, we don't want to tell you how we do this. Like that's weird. You know, like, so that's I think that I agree with all your points here. And I think that, we'll see. I think it's going to be nuts.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll be like anything. It'll just be some bulletin in our inboxes one day, and it'll be like the bomb went off, which is always a good time in this industry. It's like the can of coaster. You never know what's coming up next. So I'm very interested to see how that plays out.
We'll have you on the live stream when that happens. We're gonna go live that day from the parking lot of Virtus in Lansing.
Oh my God. So, you'll have cooking hot dogs and
we're gonna get like a We actually could. We could probably rent the parking lot at Barryama's and like bring like a food truck and shit, you know, like give them like severance packages, you know. Like,
we own a food truck. Yeah. I'll bring my food truck. We own a food truck. We'll haul our food.
Dude, hot dogs. Hey, for the kings of hot dog water.
Yes. Hot dog water king. I love
like,
it.
It's like the guys that helped all this dirty heavy metal hot dog water make it into the guys who literally filed a lawsuit to do it.
That's classic. I love it. Oh my god. Well, thank you so much, guys. This has been
for sure.
Fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. Yeah. This has been a really fun one. This one flowed really well. Do either of you guys have anything that you want to plug or announce or anything? Any last words?
Well, as always, we'll do a quick plug for neverremediated.com. Go ahead and check out neverremediated.com. It's a website that we run that informs people about what remediation is and how some of the larger players in Michigan use remediation to disguise boof weed as slightly above boof weed.
Love it. Yep. And if you guys are ever in the Jackson area, come and see us at Jackson or 3435 East Michigan Avenue. You can find us at www.stonefo.net.
Awesome. And then one more announcement. Come see, I believe, Danielle also this week in Lansing at the Causeway Bay for the Michigan Cannabis Professionals Mixer.
Actually, the location has changed.
Yes, I was stoner. Just about to say that.
I am a stoner. It's on me.
No,
former Green Dot Stables.
Thank you, Kyle. That went right out of my brain. Yes.
Which address I don't know off the cuff, but if you Google Green Dot Stables, you would find it.
Yeah, so that's really exciting. And kudos to Nate Darling for putting all of that together. That's his brainchild.
Nice, the man.
He's killing it with that. So
it's going to be a good one. The menu looks fire, too. Some lobster roll sliders, brisket sliders, Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah. I'm just going for food.
Me, too. I'm going to get stoned and eat food.
All good. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Have a great one. Bye-bye.